This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wolf, and it is a pleasure to be here. I love this show. I love this show because you all send me the greatest questions and problems, and I get to solve them on the air, plus catch you up on all the pet news and whatever's on my mind in the animal world, and it's just amazing to get your feedback. So I wanted to note something I noticed over the years. Dog breeds seem to be changing. What's popular and what's not popular, it seems to be changing quite a bit. And so when I look back, 2016, the Labrador Retriever was number one. And the Labrador Retriever has been number one for years until last year. Now it's number two, last year and this year. But in America, the Labrador Retriever was number one for years and years and years and years, including in 2016. And then German Shepherd, number two. Golden Retriever, number three. This one is like, I can't even believe this was the case because not, what? Okay. Top 10 dog breeds of 2016. Number four, you'll never believe this one. Bulldog. Yeah, really? Okay. Number five, Beagle. I do get that. Number six, French Bulldog. The Frenchie. Yes. Number seven, Poodle. Okay. So the thing about the Poodle is he's a bit of a cheater. He's a cheater because he comes in three sizes. So really, if you split him up into toy poodle, medium poodle, and large poodle, or standard poodle, he probably wouldn't be in seventh position. But you put them all together, and there he is. And I say good, because most people, if they had a poodle, they wouldn't be calling me for training. Most people. Okay. And number eight is Rottweiler. Now, to compare that list to 2003, last year, because for this year, it's still the stats aren't in yet. So comparing it to 2003, in number one, instead of Labrador Retriever, we now have the Frenchie. So he moved up since 2016, so 7 years, he moved up from number six to number one. Labrador Retriever is still the second most popular. The third is Golden Retriever, so he moved down one notch, but not very far. German Shepherd is now at number four, where it was number one before. Poodle is now in number five, up from number seven. Dum-da-da-dum, on the rise. I'm telling you, they're going to be in number two before long. All right. And then number six is Dachshund. Number seven is Bulldog. That had to move down from four, and I understand that. But I'll talk about that in a second. And number eight is Beagle, down from number five. Okay, so why would Bulldogs and Beagles take a drop in popularity? Well, Bulldogs, well, funny and interesting and lovable, can be expensive. It's like a big dog in a small package with a squished in face. So you got all the problems of breathing and flying and all those issues, but you don't have the little tiny Frenchie that you can sort of pick up and put on the plane with you, right? You've got to check it in the plane. So it's kind of the worst of both worlds when it comes to that kind of rules and restrictions, right? It's a very restrictive dog. And then it has a lot of skin problems and health issues. So I can see why it's gone down, even though bulldog people, I do love them. I do. And they make you laugh all the time. I mean, if you want to pick me up, you can get a bulldog. They're always in a good mood. But okay, that's why they drop. Now, why would a beagle drop? Well, I can tell you. That Snoopy dog, he's not really a good representative of the beagle. The beagle is probably the most persistent dog I've ever worked with. Okay, so what do I mean by that? A typical beagle will come to my farm, my camp, which is 5 acres, has lots of trees, meadows, river, pond, you know, lots of scents from other dogs running around and balls that have been left from the last fetch game and a field full of obstacle course equipment and all this. So different dogs explore the place differently. A golden retriever will right into the pond the second they get here. And then they remember where the pond is. And the next time they're here, as soon as that gate's open, splash, right? That's how they play. A running dog will run around the pond, around the pond, around the pond and try and steal the toy maybe, or grab a toy or grab a stick or whatever and get everyone to chase him. That's how he'll play. Well, a beagle will run to the tree where maybe last year or 6 months ago, It saw a squirrel or thought it saw a squirrel, or maybe thinks it's like a tree once that it saw a squirrel at, or maybe there's an old scent there from a squirrel that mistakenly ran on the property. Because honestly, squirrels really don't go here much with all the dog action. But this beagle will obsess, will just go to the bottom of that tree and be obsessed with the tree. Just persistent, 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 persistent. Nothing will deter it. Okay, and is that a good trait? Well, it is if you're trying to chase rats away or do something a beagle was made for. But in a general environment, when you take it to the dog park and all of a sudden it smells squirrel and its entire brain is full of the image and idea and scent of squirrel and its pupils are dilated and it's not even paying attention to you anymore. Yeah, that's no Snoopy. That's a hunting dog, really. Yes, that's what they are. So, a little hunting dog, but they are also extremely forgiving. See, whereas the poodle that we're talking about, who I love so much because they're so smart, they remember forever. So, if a kid is mean to a poodle, the poodle knows that kid's a mean kid and will never really accept that that kid's not mean anymore. Will never re always have one eye open on that kid. The beagle forgets the next day. And loves the kid again. So if you have a child that's maybe special needs, maybe they love dogs, but they're just a little too rough, you know, a beagle would be a good pick because the beagle will forgive that kid over and over and over. And the beagle can take a little bit of rough housing. Whereas other little dogs, like, well, like a tiny Chihuahua or a teacup poodle or a min pin, they're a little more breakable than the solid, solid beagle. So they're a good pick. Okay, so that's a little bit about dog breeds over the years that I just found so interesting. We're going to come back from break, and I want to talk about the difference between dog names and cat names, because seriously, people, there's a big difference here. Stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio. And I've been looking at the most popular names for dogs. And so here's the thing. If you have a dog, puppy, right now, and you've already named it, and you're thinking, geez, this really isn't very convenient. Every time I go to the park and I yell out, Bella, four dogs come and my dog ignores me because she doesn't know who I'm talking to. Yes, that's a problem with a popular name. So what I like to do when I get a puppy is I usually give it three names, just like a show dog. So my teddy bear was actually Prancing Cinnamon Teddy Bear. And that way I could decide as he grew which name I wanted to stick with. He'd answer to all three anyway. So sometimes you've named your dog Max and he just doesn't suit Max. You know, everybody's calling him Maxie or Maximum or Maxi Paxi or whatever, and that becomes his name. And that's okay. Dogs are really smart. Most dogs, not all dogs, but most dogs are really smart. And most of them, because the name is associated with greetings, affection, and treats, they learn it really fast. And they'll even learn a mispronunciation of their name. If someone can't speak the language right and is saying it wrong, they'll answer to that. They're very, there's a treat involved. They know what you mean, right? And they'll answer to nicknames really easily, especially a playful nickname. If you're always happy when you say it, they learn their nickname. So you don't have to stick with the one name. But I do say, if you've got a name that everybody else is using, you might want to change that up. And if you have a name on a dog or a cat, on a rescue animal, and they had a really crappy life before, or lots of handovers and lots of times in shelters, they may have a negative association with their own name, right? If someone said Molly and then kicked a cat or grabbed it and tossed it or smacked it or whatever, right? And every Molly, smack, Molly, smack. And now you're going, Molly. And the cat's going, uh-oh. If you can see it sort of tightening the muscles or crouching a little or tucking its ears in or looking like the muscles are just, the haunch is shrinking itself a bit when you say its name. If any of that's happening, change the name. Just change the name. Okay, now if you've got a puppy and you want to change the name and the puppy loves its name, you could still change the name. So in the case where the dog or cat hates its name or is scared of its name, just abandon the old name, teach the new name. It's very simple, right? You pull out the leash that he always comes to and you say the new name. You pull out a treat that he always comes to and you say the new name. You cuddle and you say the new name. And before long, your dog knows that that's what you think his name is. He may think you're wrong, but he'll still answer to it. Okay, so that's how you change a name. Same with cats. If their old association is a negative one. But if the old association is a good one, but you still want to change a name because they named her Luna or Bella and everybody at the park's named Luna or Bella and you're just tired of it. Okay, or they named your cat Kitty and you don't want a cat called Kitty. Okay, so then what you do is you take the name they were using, Kitty, and you just say that before the new name. And after a couple days, you can say it after the new name, or you can sandwich the new name between the name it knows. So say you want to call your kitty Winston Churchill, okay? Because that's number 10 on the list of interesting names that I've compiled. Let's say you want to call him Winston Churchill. So you're going to go, kitty, kitty, Winston, kitty, kitty, Churchill, kitty, kitty, Winston, as you pat him. And after a while, you'll drop the kitty. So it'll be kitty Winston Churchill, kitty Winston Churchill, Winston Churchill kitty. And then after a while, it'll just be Winston Churchill, Winston Churchill. And he won't even remember. The kitty kitty can be a nickname. It can be in the past. The same with dogs. Okay, a lot of dogs know the word puppy. And it's a happy association. Puppy, 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 right? When they're really little and they don't have a name yet and the people taking care of them, puppy, puppy. Is that your puppy? Yes, that's my puppy, you say as you're walking along. And someone, can I pet your puppy? Yes, you can pet my puppy. So most of them know the word puppy. So if your dog only answers to puppy, then you take your new name, whatever it's going to be. Finn, number 8 in popularity. In the last year, let's say you're going to name him Finn. So you go, puppy Finn, good boy, Finn puppy. And after a few days, you can just drop the word puppy completely. Finn, Finny, Finn, Finn, you know, that kind of thing. And your dog will learn its new name. So you probably are hearing how my voice changes. And this is pretty important. Yeah, it's really important. So before I tell you the popular names to steer clear of and the funny ones to go for, we're going to come back from break. And I'm going to tell you about the voice. Stay tuned on Animal Party, Pet Life Radio.
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's talk pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello. We're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. Voice matters. It really, really matters to dogs and cats. So if you sound like an angry human, if you sound deep and dark and powerful, animals don't listen to you. They run from you. We're especially cats because they're 10, 15 pounds. We're 10 times their size. We're big and tall and noisy creatures, smelly too. And I mean, think, if your dog or cat didn't shower, like if we didn't shower like they do, if you and I decided to have a bath once a season, can you imagine how smelly we'd be? They don't smell compared to us. We are stinky creatures and noisy creatures. When a man wearing work boots takes a step on a porch, that's like an earthquake to a dog or a cat. Boom, 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 boom. So we have to be conscious of this. And if you look at dogs and cats, if you listen to them, when they're friendly with each other or friendly with us, they make certain noises. So when dogs are playing, all their noises are high pitch. When they're angry, their noises are deep. So if you're a man with a deep voice, you're gonna have to learn to talk like this if you want animals to like you. And it's really easy. It doesn't even have to be a baby voice. It just a little softer, just a little higher, talk in your upper register. The trick is that your pets learn you. So you need a voice that shows them you're happy and a voice that shows them when you're not. So you come in and you find the garbage torn apart. It's okay to say, "Who did this? Get out of the garbage," right? You catch a dog in the garbage. "Get out of the garbage, you bad dog." That's okay. But for every time you say bad dog, bad cat, you should be showing them what they're supposed to do much more. So one bad dog equals a whole bunch of go lay down, good dog, sit, good boy, go get your toy, good boy, that kind of thing. So the voice needs to be different. When you're happy with them, "Hello, Pudding. Hello, Charlie. Good dog, Willow. Good boy, Cooper. Good kitty, Jabba the Butt. Good kitty, Isaac Mutant." Right? You need your voice to be, as opposed to when you're not. So there needs to be a difference. And most women are really good at this. And most men, or many men, are reluctant to use a higher voice anytime. So if you greet dogs and you say, "Hey, good doggies, how are you today?" They may eventually get used to the fact that that's your happy voice, but any dog who doesn't know you is going to think you're being aggressive or upset, or just they'll just be wary around you. So just be aware of that. Make your happy voice different than your not so happy voice, and you'll have dogs and cats reacting to you much better. Now, in the cat example, they meow at humans, but they don't meow at each other. So they've actually learned that that's what we expect from them. It's quite interesting. They make other sounds at each other, but they too pick up on our happy noises and our negative noises, and they would prefer you talk softly. The hearing of dogs and cats is fantastic. They don't need you to shout. In fact, if you want to do a little test next time you want to see how well your dog or cat can hear, feed them a treat and then walk away. And a few minutes later, whisper, "Want a treat?" And watch how well they can hear you from wherever. It's amazing. So you don't have to be screaming at them. In fact, you can be whispering at them and so quietly that no human can hear, and your dog and cat will still hear you. So there's a tip. All right, we're going to go to talk about names now. These are the top dog names of the past year. And even though I like these names, I would suggest that you're better off to pick one that isn't in the top 10. So here they are. Luna is number one again. Bella is number two. Bella has been in the top five for about 10 years. So, and number seven also. So steer clear of those or you're going to have confusion at the dog park. Luna, Bella. Number three is Daisy. I like that name though. I knew a Labradoodle called Daisy. She lives in Winnipeg now. She was born here. What an awesome dog. All right, Lucy. Oh, no, because I love it. I love it because you get to call Lucy the way Ricky Ricardo called Lucy. You get to go, Lucy, but you can't do it because there's too many of them. So Lucy becomes Lucy Juicy, or else she's not going to answer to you. All right, Willow in number five. Stella in number six. Again, for older people, you get to yell Stella. Oh, that's pleasurable. Number seven is Maggie. Maggie. I've had Maggie in my top biggest part of my file folder. Maggie and Max, the M section, has been overloaded for years and years and years, okay? Because of the Maggies and the Maxes. So if you have a dog and you want to call her Maggie or you want to call him Max, maybe think of something else because there's a lot out there. Number eight is Sadie. Number nine is Lola. I love Lola. Lola, you get to sing to her, right? Lola, L-O-L-Lola. It's great. Yeah, but everybody else is using it. And Rosie is number 10. Again, so many songs. And why would I say you get to sing? Well, your dog will learn its song. I knew this golden retriever called Hollywood. And whenever you would go, "Hollywood," this dog would start dancing. It was fantastic. Dogs learn their song. So why not sing them their song? If you've got a dog that has a song with its name, sing them their song. You'll see. They'll get it. They'll hear their name in the song and they'll perk up and they'll enjoy the music. Now, if you have a dog or a cat whose name isn't in a song, well, change the song, right? I mean, you can just put their name into any song and put words they like. Like if you're driving to the park and the song is playing on the radio, you can sing along to it and change some of the words. So you're singing about Max going for a walk at the park and going swimming and whatever, and you'll find your dog has a new appreciation of music. The same for your cat. If you sing about what they like and you sing their name, they'll get it. Okay, so those were the girl names, the doggy girl names. And now we're going to go over the boy names. We got Milo in number one. I'm going to circle back to that because I do not like that name. Sorry, people, I don't. I'll tell you why later. Milo, number two, Max. Oh, no, not more Maxes. Number three, Teddy. I'm so sorry, my teddy bear. I called you Teddy and so did everyone else. But you see, he's got these backups of Cinnamon and Prancer, and he answers to those two. So if I had him at a dog park, I could yell out his full name and he'd be the only one to come. Charlie, number four. Good old Charlie. I'm surprised Buddy isn't on this list. Do you know, this is an American list. And I do believe a Canadian list would have Buddy in number two, because Buddy is kind of the thing everybody calls everybody else up here. Hey, Buddy, how's it going? All right, so we got Charlie, and then we got Cooper in number five. Number six is Bear. Number seven is Toby. Number eight is Finn. Number nine is Tucker. And number 10 is Ollie. So if you can change the name or add a nickname, so when you need it at the park and there's lots of dogs answering to the same thing, that's probably a good idea. I'm going to circle back to Milo. And this is true for cats too. If you have a dog or cat whose name rhymes with the word no, Bruno is probably the worst one I can think of, then you're always scolding your dog or your cat while you call them because they know what the word no means. And so now you're going, Bruno. The dog actually thinks his name is Brew, or Milo thinks his name is My. And then you go, Milo, Milo, Milo. Unless he's brilliant, Standard Poodle, Doberman, Border Collie, whatever. If he's not, he's going to think he's always being scolded because he hears that no at the end of his name. No, no, no. And I had this one Standard Poodle once that his name was Bruno, and he was so difficult. And I suggested to them, I suggested to them they change his name, and they did. They changed his name to Miles, and he literally changed his personality overnight. Because every time they called Bruno, he heard no, and he didn't come. Every time they said his name, and he'd, Bruno, get in the car, he'd sit down. Like, he was just, they actually called me saying, does our dog have some kind of obsessive compulsive defiant disorder? No, he just doesn't come to the word no, right? So it's so funny. But change his name, and bingo, everybody's good. So, all right. So, and bingo, there's another word that's not so good because the end of it is go. Well, if you tell Bingo to stay, is he going to go? Is he going to stay? What's he going to do? I just wouldn't call a dog Bingo. No. Okay. So there is something to the name. Now, you heard me just say a whole bunch of names. Luna, Bella, Milo, Max, Teddy, Daisy. Okay. All these names sort of sound like people names, and they're usually two syllables. And that's not what cat owners do. So I'm going to give you some of the cat names I've come across. They're just so funny. They just have so much character. So here we go. Little Booty Ham Sandwich. Dog the Cat. 50 Shades of Graham. Isaac Mutant. Jabba the Butt. Ninja Killer 9000. Obi-Wan Catnobi. The Great Catsby. Whiskerous Maximus. And I told you this one before. I love this one. Winston Churchill. So let me just go through a few. Oh, Chicken Pants. Disco Cheetah. Just going down the list, picking my favorites. Oh, my goodness. Pistachio Buttons. Princess Fairy Boots. Yeah, kid named that one for sure. Sugar Britches. Oh, I like that one. Stinky Poo Poos. Well, okay. Now there's a name that gives me another topic. You don't name your dog after what you don't want. Okay, or your cat. So just because it might have negative behavior traits, something it does that's sort of funny. You don't want to get stuck with that. You don't want that to be your dog or cat's one trick thing, stinky poops, right? Pissy Poopy was this cat that I once was called to train to use the litter box. Like, she needs a new name for starters, okay? So, some of these things come to fruition if you make them a permanent feature. So I'm glad that came up, actually. All right, everybody. Some dogs like, and some cats like to be laughed at. They like to clown around. And like my prancing cinnamon teddy bear, I'm going to try and post some of him on Deb Wolf Pet Expert on YouTube. Prancing. He loves it. The more you laugh, the more he prances. He thinks it's hysterical too. And he starts to chuff, which is that noise dogs make, which is like laughing. They sort of breathe a little bit loud in a short, rapid way, sort of huff, 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 huff. And that's called chuffing. And so he does that and he prances around. And then the more you react to it, the more his legs fly up in the air. And he loves to be the clown. Some animals don't. You start laughing and they think like they're embarrassed. They go sulking off. They skulk. They don't want to be the subject of laughter. And you have to know your animal. So if your dog has a lot of pride and doesn't want to be laughed at, don't give him a silly name, right? If he's huge, don't call him Tiny. If he's tiny, don't call him Thor if he hates that. Because everywhere you go, you're going to get laughs. Now, if your dog's animated and a joker and he loves to be laughed at, oh, by all means, go for it. You got to know your animal, though. Okay, so one more thing before we go. A lot of people seem to be giving dogs treats with chocolate and treats with nuts and treats with grapes. And these are three things dogs shouldn't have. So I've seen people say to me, actually during a lesson, oh, it's okay, it's only a little bit, as they give their dog the end of a chocolate bar, which has nuts in it. And I think, geez, you don't give your kid a little bit of poison. You don't give your kid a little bit of something they're not supposed to eat and say it's a treat. So your dogs are really conditioned to thinking anything you give them is good and thinking they ought to accept it. And it's not fair to give them things that aren't good for them. So some of the things they should never, ever have: pecans, pistachios, walnuts, almonds, hickory nuts, and macadamia nuts. They should also never have grapes, never have raisins, and never have chocolate. So be careful with all that. Be careful. And as always, I welcome your pet suggestions and your comments and your jokes, because I've been told I need to tell more pet riddles on this show. So coming up in the new year, I'll be doing that. And I'll be having some great guests on. Right now in Canada, we have a postal strike. Yeah, great time of year for it when everyone's trying to send presents. And it made me have to line up for over an hour to send a parcel by FedEx the other day. Just a little Christmas gift, you know, to my family. But an hour, okay? That's not normal in our country. Usually it's 5 minutes or not even, no lineup. So an hour standing there with all the other people with all their packages, with one clerk and one computer, because they're not set up for it. Because normally when the strike's not on, they can handle the volume, but now they're completely overwhelmed. And as I sat there thinking about this, it occurred to me that these FedEx people have to ship a lot this year. But not only that, the way they get the pandas from China to America is FedEx. How the heck does that happen? Oh my goodness, what an ordeal that must be, right? Can you imagine? I mean, just sending my little package to Toronto was a big deal. Can't imagine what it would be like. Okay, so I've kind of gone over breeds today, and I do want to make mention of the fact that even though I kind of told you the popular breeds over the years, the real number one breed, dun da da da, all over the world and in America and Canada, the real number one breed is the mixed breed dog, the non-designer Heinz 57 mutt of the world. In different places in the world, you get a different mutt. So if you let dogs just breed indiscriminately, or you look at a wild dog population, depending on the climate, you'll get different kind of dogs. So in hot countries, you'll get a sort of smaller yellow or orange colored dog with short fur. And in climates like mine, you'll end up with a larger dog than that, with thicker fur, because that's what survives, that's what breeds, that's what succeeds. But when you get a mixed dog, what have you got? Well, I've had Dr. Stan Korn, professor of psychology and animal authority, author of best-selling dog books, on the show to talk about this. And he says, time and time again, they've proven with scientific research that what you get is really what you see in cats and dogs. So if you're looking at a mixed breed cat, non-pedigree, non-show cat, or you're looking at a mixed breed dog, you're in a shelter, you're trying to adopt one, and you're looking, look at the features, right? Not just the colors, but that too. If you see a dog that looks like a Labrador Retriever, it has a round mouth, it has a soft jaw, it has webbed feet, it has floppy ears, if you are able to take that dog for a walk in an exercise yard and it fetches, and or say you come across a dog that you think is maybe a pointer and you throw the ball and it points and then it fetches, or it's looking up ahead and watching all the birds, if the physicality of the dog looks like a certain breed and the behavior of the dog is consistent with the behavior of a certain breed. So in other words, a retriever looks like a retriever. It has the webbed feet, the soft mouth, the floppy ears, and it acts like a retriever, fetching. What you've got is a retriever. You may have a few other traits in there mixed in, but whatever dominates in the genetics and behavior is what you've got. And I would suggest that the easiest dog to have in the canine world, especially for a beginner, is a Labrador Retriever or a Labrador Cross. They're just really simple dogs. They're the beginner dog. And that's why they've been in the top one for years and years and years, even though they're big dogs, and now they're top two, because they're just so, so easy. They were originally bred to dive into the water and grab the floats on nets and bring the nets in for the fishermen. So they're true retrievers, true swimming dogs, and they can handle cold water to some degree. Not as much as Irish Spaniels or Standard Poodles, but almost. They got a lot of fat on their body, and they're good for all that. And they're just willing to please, incredible willing to please. They're like the student in the class who works hard every day to try and get an A. They're not the gifted kid who slacks off and gets the A and sometimes doesn't pay attention and fails. No, they're not that kid. That's the Doberman, the Standard Poodle, and the Border Collie, who's busy, you know, in the classroom. He's getting A's, but he's disturbing the class. No. They're goody two-shoes. And that's why they make the best seeing eye dogs, the Golden Retrievers and the Labradors, the Retrievers. So if you're looking at getting a mixed breed dog, or you're looking at getting a new dog and you got little kids, or you're new at dog ownership, try and get a Retriever or Retriever Cross. That's my suggestion. Easiest dogs. And you won't need professional training. You'll just be able to reward it when it's good, ignore or redirect it when it's not good, and you'll have a good dog because it's so willing to please you. All right. And the same is true for cats. If you're looking for a cat and you want a calm cat, pick the one that's super calm at the shelter. If you want an active cat, pick the cat that's reacting to you and the toys you bring. If you want an affectionate cat, pick the cat that starts purring the minute you pick it up. Like, what you see is what you get. And they will be a little bit different in a shelter, right? But you'll still get an inkling. Like, if a cat is still playful, even though it's in a noisy shelter where it can hear dogs barking and strangers coming and going, okay, that's a playful cat, because most would shut down. If it's purring when you pick it up, even though it's never met you, and it's a chaotic environment, that is a cuddly cat, right? If it's calm, even though there's chaos all around, that's a calm cat. All right, everybody. Oh, it's been a great show. And I just want to leave you with, be good to your animals, for me, Animal Party, and Pet Life Radio. Ciao, meow.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.